Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. Of course, before we get too far in, I want to take just a moment to go ahead and thank all of our wonderful sponsors. So a huge thank you to Steel Fox Games as well as ETB Games. Those are my two locals near me here in Central Louisiana. Of course, we also want to thank Gem Tech Accessories, Chainlink TCG, Dragon Shield Tier Zero, and Grimoire Accessories. And also be sure to check out our TCG Player affiliate link in the description down below. Of course, we want to thank all of our wonderful patrons for their continued support of the podcast. On the announcement side for our sponsors, Tier Zero Games with code TOPCUT5, anything over 50 pounds British, which is like $60-$65 US, you get free international shipping. And today the Maze of Memories set goes on full release, so be sure to check that out.
I do have a quick interjection in regards to sponsors.
Sure.
I didn't mention this last time, but Chainlink TCG actually did send me a few things, which is very funny considering I'm not playing anymore. But I have
which some we're going to get to in a moment.
I have some of the DFL Star sleeves, and the Field Center is actually gorgeous. The back of it has like a fire PD thing on it for the Rescue Ace Fire.
Oh, department. That's nice.
They're really pretty, and they're actually pretty, like, they're not very expensive either. So if you want like a metal Field Center, this is good.
I should check the P.O. box, because he said he was going to send me some stuff, and I know he sent it to the P.O. box, and I just haven't looked.
I'm pretty sure this art is also from Vincent Graphic Art, who is like one of the best Yu-Gi-Oh! Artists on Twitter ever. Please go follow.
True.
A couple months back, they made Eldritch holding a bunch of the Fluffles, and it's the best thing I've seen in my life.
So cute.
It was adorable. I'm a big fan. I love the way that they did. They got like the beady eyes of the dog, right? Anyway, you can continue.
Well, if you're a fan of those Field Centers that I'm sure you saw live on our YouTube channel while we were watching this, or while we were recording this, or live on twitch.tv/TrishLittTV while we're recording this, if you were in either of those places and saw those and liked them, be sure to check them out on the Chainlink website. There's a link in the description down below, Top Cut 5 for 5% off.
Thank you for being specific.
We have a lot to cover. Obviously, I'm here with my two co-hosts, Giant Skyhawk and Trishula TTV. How are you doing this evening, boys?
I have a headache.
I've
been playing a lot of Vanadium.
I understand. Can we talk about, just off the top before we do anything else, can we talk about so last night when I checked in on Trisha's stream, at one point you had like a 40-2 win rate, and your two losses were both to Dark Magician. Do we want to discuss this? The one time I tuned in was the second loss, and you were just like staring down two Magician's Rod. They were trying to attack over a set
Manadium. I won that game.
Yeah, I won that game. How did you win that game?
I don't
remember, okay, to be perfectly honest.
I would go check.
I think I just kept setting monsters and... Yeah, I think I set a Meek, which has 1,800 defense, and Magician's Rod had 1,600, and I just, like, kept drawing until I drew, like, visas or something.
Insane.
But yeah, we started out 40-0 on this account, so for the listeners who don't know my, like, Twitch content, I do a lot of, like, fresh accounts, Master 1 climbs, and
always good stuff.
The current one that I'm doing is Manadium, and we got our new highest win streak overall, which was 40-0 undefeated. And then I lost to Dark Magician because I did not know that I could lose to Imperm if I had visas and Reamheart in hand. Because it didn't track for me that Reamheart's a light warrior the same as visas. So I got Impermed, and then my opponent, you know, Raigeki'd me, of course, and then summoned Dark Magician. And then summoned Dark Magician Girl and punched me, and my hand was just a brick, so I just got punched twice. But this run has been special because up until Master 5, so all the way from Rookie to Master 5, we lost less than 10 times. I think it was like 70-something and 9 by the time we hit Master 5, and then as soon as we hit Master 5, we started losing a ton. Well, and for like the past 4 hours, I've been stuck in Master.
Has it been your experience that, like, in a lot of these ladder climb games where you get to a certain point and then it just, like, you're like, your win rate goes down to like 51-52%?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think Yu-Gi-Oh even becomes real on Master Duel until you hit Master. Like, I don't even think you're playing Yu-Gi-Oh until you hit Master 5. So we've hit a bit of a wall. We're at like 57% win rate in Master, but it was like 90 before that, so it's doing okay.
Listen, that still sounds like you're winning more than you're losing to me, which feels like the plan.
So I guess we can use this.
Sure, we'll go with that.
We can use this to transition into the one thing that we want to talk about is the Master Duel meta. Have you now run into the super heavy samurai menace? What's the impact of samurai on the Master Duel meta?
Yeah, Skyhawk implied that it was going to be tier zero, but I don't know.
It's not. I don't know.
It is no longer seeing much play at all.
Really? That is fascinating.
Yeah. So this is something that I was. This was expected. Like, I was saying this for weeks before these cards came out. Is that the deck is just not that good because Maxi is in the game. You normal summon Soul Piercer, you get Maxi'd. The only card you can have is Ash. You lose. Yeah. So losing, you know, twice as often to Maxi than every other deck in the game does not feel good. Also, everybody's running Drolan Lockbird, which you also cannot play through. So the deck kind of folds to that stuff. Where I think the deck is positioned right now is it is still a good deck simply because it plays enough hand traps to deal with the other super heavies. But we've encountered so few super heavies on this climb. It's really weird. We've actually played more Manadium mirrors than we have super heavy. Well, and Manadium is, like, not seen that often.
Well, I guess if we're playing, like, a wombo combo deck, Manadium and super heavy are, like, ending on a pretty similar board. And Manadium just gets to play Called by the Grave a cross out if you really want to. So I guess that makes sense. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The one other trend that I've noticed today is I've been Dark Ruler'd like 7 times today, and I have never in my life seen Dark Ruler on Master Duel ladder before.
Best of one, right? Because if you draw it going first, it literally doesn't do anything. but if people are that scared of Super Heavy that they're main decking Dark Ruler, then there's got to be.
Is there a world where you, if a deck is that dominant on the ladder, you can just choose going second and basically just be pre-sided?
I mean, you could, but why would you?
Blind second is you. Yeah, in best
it's never good. Like, it's objectively wrong to blind second in Yu-Gi-Oh.
It's like
in most Yu-Gi-Oh, I would agree with you. I think there's an argument to be made in a best of one format like this.
I think the
Maxi's legal.
So strong going first, and Maxi is a huge problem. Because going second is already at a huge disadvantage because Maxi into Nibiru exists. So if your deck can OTK under Nibiru, then sure. But it's a lot of, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of, like, top level Master Duel decks are, like, playing stuff they can draw off of Maxi to stop themselves from dying, whether that's a Nib. So, like, you have to be able to.
You would think that
an entire board, but a nib or something like a droll. I don't know.
You would think that, but what's weirdly the case is that Master Duel players just cut those cards. It's weird. A lot of people cut those cards. I don't think it's correct. Like, I play nib all the time, but it's very strange to me that a lot of people cut it, and like people just take maxi challenges all the time. But here's like the bottom line summary is you do not want to get max seed and have your opponent have the ability to negate your negate, if that makes sense. Like, sure. if a maxi is played, you want to be able to call by it, cross out it, ash it, whatever. And you don't want your opponent to have like a Baron or something to negate those cards. Secondly, if you're out is an Ash Blossom, what happens if you're playing against Despia, which is very popular right now? And they go Branded Fusion, you ash it, and then, you know, that they pass turn, you draw for turn, they max see you, and it's like, oh, well, I just use my ash on the Branded Fusion. So there's not really much merit to blinding second. A lot of times the blind second decks too, like, there's only a few decks that they can be. Typically, like, Makanko is like the popular one right now. You're always at risk of your opponent just hard passing to you, and then just having hand traps. So if you are playing a deck like that, that can sometimes like be an issue as well.
I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that blind second is just like the wave, right? I just wonder if being able to main deck cards like Dark Ruler, Lightning Storm, Droplet, or whatever your blind second card of choice is, I just wonder if there's a discussion to be had about it. It's totally fair. I think that, you know, it's not the wave. I get that. I just think it's an interesting discussion to have.
I think the Dark Ruler specifically is very bad against Maxi, because your opponent will be able to use the card advantage they accrue against you. It's a guarantee at that point.
Sure.
Something like, if you're going to play a Breaker, something like Droplet is probably better, where
something is set
going first. So, but I imagine there will be a meta game in the future where maybe everybody is like, no, actually, we do have to be playing Dark Ruler. This is ridiculous.
No, right. That's the meta game that we're in. Like, people are playing the Dark Rulers right now, which is crazy.
I wonder, does Monadium start playing the counter trap, or does that get really bad in a best of one? Like,
I really hope that Quannel does not listen to this podcast. he's been hanging out in my chat watching me play the deck, right? Every single time he's in chat, people start asking, should we play Sprite Elf? Should we play Chaos Angel? What about like Ice Jade Jameer? What about reframing? And he, like, I can feel through the screen that his blood vessels are popping. Like, I can feel it.
That definitely seems like a quantum thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I do want to... we have a few other topics that we're going to discuss. But I know what chat is going to be thinking, what our listeners are going to be thinking about, what our listeners want to hear about. Which is that, Skyhawk, you made an announcement earlier this week.
Is that the word we're using?
The what?
An announcement. Is it? Dude,
an announcement. Yeah, let's, I have something to say.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. He definitely had things to say.
That's true.
That's you put out about a 15-minute video on your personal channel, the title of which is something along the lines of, I'm quitting Paper Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, those are the first four words.
Yeah. And it has gone a bit more than that. Right now, I think as of right now, you're basically taking a complete step back from everything Yu-Gi-Oh! Related. And I don't really need a whole full explanation on that, but I was wondering if you could just give the listener base that maybe didn't watch that whole video and is hearing this for the first time kind of just a very, very small amount of background. Very small.
Shout outs to all the people who live on Spotify and just don't have Twitter installed. I haven't had Twitter installed for like 3 days. Best decision I've ever made. So shout outs to the Spotify onlys who might be hearing this for the first time. But you can go watch my video if you want some more context on that.
We will link it.
I am genuinely surprised by the amount of reach that it had. I was expecting it to be like very small, but I think it's like the third most viewed video on my channel, aside from like a couple of Fluffle guides that I have up. Shout outs to Mega Capital G. I guess I became the Keemstar discourse of the week, which was not necessarily the intention, but there were definitely a couple of videos. I guess for me, the price thing has gotten a little out of hand. I've taken a step back and looked at everything and a lot of decisions that I've made, and I think the best thing for me is to just step away from Yu-Gi-Oh! As a whole. If you need to find me, then I will still be on Discord. I'll still be in the Top Cut Podcast Discord. I'll check in on Twitter like once a week, I guess. And I don't know what my future is online from there, which is kind of why the end of the video is what it was, because giving up Yu-Gi-Oh! Is also giving up a lot of your social circle, right? So I think there was a little bit of confusion about like, why is this like an emotional thing for you? It has very little to do with the price of cardboard. I'm angry about that, but I'm not like to the point of tears about that, right? The thing that's sad for me is what changes in my social circle and what changes with who I feel like I can have a conversation with. So for me, that's kind of what I've been grappling with. But in terms of me on the podcast, I probably won't be doing Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff for very much longer, but I'm not going to leave Sunny hanging until he decides what he wants to do with the rest of it. So hopefully that is enough of an explanation for you. But
absolutely.
You got anything else?
Yeah. So as of right now, for any listeners, Skyhawk will be taking a step back from the podcast in the next
step back
soon.
A big thank you very much.
In the next soon.
Oh, yeah. 07. Can I send, 07, I'll send the Neshio 07 email.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
So
there we go.
As of right now, Skyhawk has put in his 2 weeks notice, more or less. And
that's exactly what this is.
Right.
You're so right about that. Yep.
I'm not entirely sure where we're going from here podcast wise. We went through one host change when Caleb retired due to burnout and the price of the game. And now with Skyhawk leaving, I don't know. I want to make sure that the podcast is what I want it to be, as well as a product that everyone is happy with, including myself. And I'm not entirely sure what the future of the podcast is at the moment. I'll probably have something more concrete next episode. So be on the lookout for that. But hey, what I can say is... Do what?
Sorry, you go for it. Finish what you wanted to say.
What I can say is that... I will be moving to streaming pretty regularly on Twitch, mostly in the evenings. So be on the lookout for that. We can kind of move back to the podcast episode, but I didn't want to wait till the very, 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 very end to say something about it, because not everybody stays till the end.
Fair enough.
So, and I wanted to give our listeners a heads up.
All right. Now that we've got the sappy stuff out of the way, I'm here for discourse. If I'm only here for a little bit longer, I want
discourse.
If I'm only here for a little bit, I need Yu-Gi-Oh! Discourse. Okay.
Good news.
Exactly. Like this doesn't need to be like sad. Like it's not a funeral. Like I'm a big proponent of like the party when we die type stuff.
We are cooking with that.
Listen, I grew up in New Orleans. I feel that. We have literal parties at funerals. I get it.
All right.
So let's make it fun. Let's go.
Discourse time.
Yeah.
What do we think? So the TCG news, I guess, of the week is that we got the reveals for the two-player starter set. Sure. How do we feel about that as a product? I don't know how much people have looked into it.
I like it.
Do we think it's a good way to get people in?
What was the new product?
The two-player starter deck. It is two starter decks.
Oh, that answers my question.
Honestly, like, I forgot that was coming out because they announced it so long ago.
Yeah.
Like, I have thought of this. Yeah, it's been delayed a few times. And, like, there's been multiple times where I was like, oh, has that not come out yet? And I'm, like, looking around. It's like, wait, that didn't come out yet? Like, when is it coming out?
I'll send a link to the set list.
Yes, please.
Can I start the discourse? Because I feel like I have the hot take here.
I'm listening. Bring it.
Sure.
I think it's cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
I agree. Actually. I think it's a great product.
I had to have my mind changed about it, but I do think after thinking about it a little bit, it's much better than I gave it credit for.
Yeah.
My reaction to like the actual, gripe with this, I think, is that I wish the card pool was like a little bit more modern. I think the vanillas are maybe a little bit overstated, and I think it would be cool to have a few more useful cards in here, because really there are probably like 6 or 7 cards in the whole set that I think you could see played at locals. Like Galaxy Cyclone is at like the edge of shows up sometimes, but I think the interactions in like the scripted duel are really good. There's one that I think DZ mentioned in his video where they're like, your monster was used as Xyz material, so Call of the Haunted will stay on the field, and then you can use Eldritch the Golden Lore to send that Call of the Haunted. It's like giving people an example of how to get value out of all of your cards, and also teaching them like a complicated rules interaction. If they're capable of doing that in a scripted duel, that is huge, because that's the stuff that I think trips people up when they go to locals for the first few times.
And I would also like to say, this isn't, let's not get confused, this is not a structure deck. This is a starter deck, and it's two of them. Yep. And I'll say 2 starter decks at $30 instead of the usual like 10 or 12 on the higher side, but they had to put extra time into like coming up with the scripted duel and things like that. They had to put somebody on the issue of when they look at the deck and it says, remove this card, and the top card you should see is back to the front, which means to flip it back over. That's hilarious to me. But I think that there's good cards here for what it is. Yeah, it's funny. I liked it. I mean, to get cards in a starter deck like Divine Arsenal, AA Zeus, Sky Thunder is good. Eldritch the Golden Lord is good. There are cards worth having here. Even Coral Dragon is a good card to have.
Coral Dragon is actually a good reprint, importantly. That card was expensive for no reason.
And there's a lot of...
That card was expensive?
It's been like $6 to $10 for the last like 3 years. It only has 2 very old printings.
Yes.
It's like actually... And
Because that card was $1 forever.
It was, yeah. Because one reprint it got was cheap for a while, but then it got expensive again. I remember pick one up for Synchro.
Boatload.
It was expensive.
Yeah, there's also a boatload of Edison staples in here.
That's true.
Cards like Cyber Dragon, Call of the Haunted, MST, Trade In, Book of Moon, even Needle Ceiling at one point was like a $4 card. I think that this is a good set that does a lot of good things. I don't think you're off base at all, Trish, by saying it's good. I think for what it is, it's perfect. And somebody else mentioned the interaction of like the last turn that you have Swords of Revealing light up. It's another card that you can send for Eldritch, things like that. Like little things like that matter in this context. And
I
think this is a great product for new players.
The one thing that I'm confused about. So the Synchro deck has Ojama Green and the Xyz deck has Ojama Yellow. Where's Ojama Black?
It's in the booster set coming out.
Ah,
there we go. The lore continues.
I see.
One thing, it's interesting.
You actually had a Chase Ulti in that set. It's crazy.
Yeah, like it's interesting that you mention the Ojamas, because I saw some people like on Twitter talking about it. It's like, oh, why are they giving us Ojamas? Like, that's so stupid. I actually think that's fantastic. And I think the vanillas are actually like really, really cool, because those are cards that were like mascots during like the GX era. Like, these are recognizable cards that like maybe you'll remember, but like also if you're trying to get into Yu-Gi-Oh, you want to have familiarity with the cards that like people know, you know, like because we're like old heads, right? Like, we grew up with this stuff. But if I bought this, you know, like, I'm thinking like, say I had a kid, right? Or like maybe Sonny, you're a better example. If you bought this for your kid, you know, like, you would want them to be familiar with the cards that you have familiarity with. It's like a bonding thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense to me that these starter decks don't have a ton of like good cards, if that makes sense. Because if you've ever tried to teach somebody Yu-Gi-Oh from like absolute zero, it is a nightmare. Like, yeah. And like the thing that I've always told people is play GOAT format, and then like as you go, like start introducing them to new formats and eras of Yu-Gi-Oh, because that's just the only way to learn it. Is you need the progression of like knowledge.
I have tried to teach someone, and even starting at GOAT format, that you really need to start at the starter decks Yugi Kaiba Reloaded, because if you start at GOAT format, there is still a certain amount of like, wait, why did you summon that guy? Well, I banished the light in the dark and I could summon him. So wait, can I do X, Y, or Z with this summon? No, because it's like the summon doesn't start a chain. Like even that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As the new place to start, I think this is very good. I would love personally if they followed this up with like an Edison era, like we're putting two Edison decks against each other, and here's a scripted duel with those cards.
And absolutely,
that would be something like, I think it take this and make like an intermediate set that introduces a few more complicated interactions, but also has a scripted duel. And this set, I think, once you have the hang of it, playing the duels with like these two decks of cards is going to be kind of a little bit wonky. Somebody's going to open Golden Lord and somebody's going to open Ojama Yellow. But the other cool thing about this is that it sets a cap on the price of Zeus like forever. Because it's like available in a set product now, which is nice.
Now, I will say, this set does do one weird thing in one weird format that nobody plays, but it's funny, which is that it puts Zeus, or not Zeus, it puts Golden Lord into Common Charity format.
Yeah, this set just destroys the Common Charity format.
Yeah, it really...
Did anybody really play Common Charity format outside the first week?
So there's like a very small...
There's a really dedicated, super small community.
The problem with the format is that Lunalight has been the best deck for like 2 years, and just nothing has been better than Lunalight. So everybody gave up on lighting it because there's nothing else to play. For a week people were like, hey, Tenji's really good.
I remember that. That was the 1 week that I played.
Yep. And then it kind of disappeared. But Eldritch the Golden Lord is like the strongest card ever printed at Common. Like, generically, it's just so insane.
In a common only format, right?
In a common only format.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
You want to know what would be a cool product? This is just coming to me in my head. Like, this is kind of a diversion. But you want to know what would be a cool product?
Welcome to Shark Tank. Pitch us the product.
All right. So here's the idea, right? So we got these scripted duels. We already have a format for this. We're already starting products where it's like two decks, right?
Yeah.
You want to go through the eras of Yu-Gi-Oh! And you want to learn the history.
Sure.
So what if we did history of Yu-Gi-Oh! Where they take actual decks that were played at like forever ago, like during Edison format, as like YCS finals, and then you can go and you can play that, but it comes with a little scripted duel, like a little, they like animate it and they're like teaching you the lore, like the history of Yu-Gi-Oh! Itself.
We combine like, because Pokemon does something similar to
we're gonna do what Pokemon didn't do. We're gonna make these cards legal.
Yeah, that's true. The Pokemon World Championship decks are not actually legal for tournament play. You can't use them. They're just like replicas, which sucks. Yeah. But I totally agree with that. We'd have to change the name. Shout outs to SEMO. If you want 5% off of your singles and sealed product, you can use code SEMO5. But
I love the concept. I've pitched the concept of here of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Time Wizard time capsule several time times capsule. Where you take...
Damn, that's good.
There we go.
Yeah, I've pitched that product on this
podcast. So we got Time Wizard, but these be like Thousand Dragons? Is this the Thousand Dragon like product?
I'm telling you, I've literally pitched this product at least half a dozen times on this podcast as take a retro format like Edison, like Hat, like Goat, anything like that, and take the two best decks or two good decks from that format that have good interplay and have good interactions and release like a two-player structure deck thing for each Time Wizard format. But you could take your idea and make it like a scripted duel of the actual finals as they happen. That would be super sick.
Literally, like, because I feel like there were some really crazy finals out there that like could make good scripted duels. You know, not the ones obviously where like back in the day, like somebody was just like, I will max see you. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll pass.
And well, then Maxi the reprint would go kind of hard.
Maxi'd again in game two.
Ah, I opened Rescue Rabbit and four trap cards. Here's the script.
Actually, it would have been five, but it would have been five back then.
No, Rescue Rabbit turn.
I always
Maxi.
Oh my god.
yeah, they changed that. It's so hard going back to retro formats because I'll like hand loop myself for one. I'm like, oh right, I was supposed to have six cards. Yeah. Why am I neg one? Oh, that's why. I didn't draw for turn.
I will say, yeah. If we're... no, Sunny, I've taken up airtime. You go first. I do have something funny to say after, though.
No, I feel like you should be able to take up airtime, right? Like, you're leaving the podcast, bro.
Yeah, that's true. This is
like, take your airtime.
Yeah. My Yu-Gi-Oh! Flex is that I think I am the only person to have ever topped a tournament with Time Wizard of Tomorrow in my extra deck. So I am...
I remember that.
I am the Time Wizard.
I remember watching that video to figure out why you played it.
That's all I wanted to say. It's for those who don't know, the interaction is very funny. I'm going to use my knowledge while I have it. So Time Wizard of Tomorrow. What's funny is in the video, I actually get the set that it's from wrong, which proves like have nobody read it. It was, and I didn't come up with this. This was somebody on the Dino Discord who came up with it one day just randomly. The idea is it's essentially the same as Dark Hole as an instant fusion target. So if you opened like Lost World Baby and Instant Fusion off of your Prosperity or something, you could go activate the Lost World, normal summon Baby, give your opponent a token, Instant Fusion for the Time Wizard effect to blow up all the monsters on the field. You flip a coin, but the coin only determines who takes the damage from the monsters that get blown up. It doesn't act, it always blows up the monsters. So then you would protect the token with Lost World and destroy the Baby on the field, and you'd get Chain Link Amazing. 1 Baby, Chain Link 2 Baby, which meant that you still got your full combo through Ash anywhere.
Amazing.
So that was
what happens if they ash the misc in graveyard.
If they ash the misc, then you still have over after pop baby, summon baby, special summon Arcosaur pop the baby, add double evolution pill, special summon Giant Rex. You'd go link the Arco into Linkaribo, link Giant Rex and the Linkaribo into Verte, pill for the Giant Rex for UCT, overlay for the Dulka, and then Verte would send the Red Ice Fusion for Dragoon. So played around the Ash on the Misc whenever you wanted to, which was very funny. I actually
and also
I did it to Hanko still, Chow, this, but I lost that game.
Hanko Chow, who was here in chat like 20 minutes ago, probably still is.
Hanko Chow was the only person to actually resolve Time Wizard on, and I lost the game. So maybe it wasn't a good decision, but it was in my deck list, so screw you. Okay, Sunny, go ahead. That's all I wanted to say.
I love doing that. I think that same era was when I played Dragon Link with Skullmeister. Like to because I remember my Dragon Link deck that I won my prize card with had Skullmeisters in it, and I remember sitting there thinking that it was like the dumbest decision I ever made because it never came up. I was just constantly sitting with Skullmeister in my hand. I was like, why did I put this in my deck? I did not play against a single Drytron.
I remember. Yeah, I remember. We were all terrified about that. That was. God, what a weird time. What a weird format we were all in with COVID. I was going back through, so like, as I'm getting ready to sell all my stuff and keep track of everything, I've been going through all of my like archives of like screenshots and messages and lists and everything. I found, I completely forgot that I wrote a 32-page guide on how to play the Synchro Dinosaur deck. It's still pinned in the Dino Discord to this day. You just have to like scroll back up a little ways.
Oh my god.
And I forgot just how much I put into things during the COVID time just because there was nothing else for us to do.
True.
There's a bunch of we figured out how to do the Calamity Lock with Misc Baby. But you had to it took all 15 cards in your extra deck.
I was like, you can Calamity Lock, and then you said 15 cards in extra deck.
It took like 12 bricks. We had to play we had to do a Alimbertian Line for Rescue Ferret with Saryuja to summon from deck Omni Dragon Brotor Recover and Naturia Strawberry.
That's the most Skyhawk combo I've ever heard in my entire life.
Trishula is dead.
His whole stream died.
Oh no. Well, while Trisha's stream died because the combo that I was describing was simply too powerful.
Indeed.
And the other thing that you had to do was Paralis the Purple Pyro Tile. It's a level 2 synchro in Shadow Specters, and all it does is when it's sent to the graveyard, it reduces all of your opponent's monsters by 500 attack. So if you activate Black Garden and you give your opponent 5 monsters, they now have 5 tokens with 800 attack. So when you reduce all of their attack by 500, the total attack of those monsters becomes 1500. That is then enough to use Black Garden to destroy all of the monsters that now have a total of 1500 attack to revive Halk of Firebrax. And that's how you got the Halk of Firebrax back on the field to summon Formula Synchron to do the Calamity Lock.
That's insane.
Outback and I spent like 2 days trying to figure out how to do it.
He's back.
Yeah, we figured.
I can hear you.
I can hear you. Your my
comp- yeah. So I'm joining back in on my phone. My whole computer just crashed mid sentence.
Oof.
My combo was simply too powerful. All good.
Yeah, I mean, you literally calamity locked my computer out of existence.
Okay.
Skyhawk's parting to the podcast. Calamity locking.
Do you need to jump out and take some time to get that sorted?
Here's what I'll do. I will continue on from my phone.
Okay.
If the audio quality is not terrible, and I will rejoin from my computer once it reboots.
It works great. We probably only have another 15 minutes or so. So, but
well, that works. You know, while we're here in this 15 minutes, I'll offer you boys the choice.
Okay.
Do we want to cover the topics that we had planned? Which we're doing this live. The topics we had planned was talking about Yubel support and the one simple spoils card that's really crazy, and like the new Fishborg blaster and some vanilla retrains. There's right, new cards.
The Time Wizard 3v3. There's that.
I'm sorry?
There's the Time Wizard 3v3.
The Time Wizard 3v3 we can touch on. Yeah.
I'm still vigilant about the news. Come on.
Yeah. My question is, do we want to cover new cards or do we want to cover the discourse around pricing?
I mean,
because it has been the predominant topic in the community, although I can understand if we're all tired of it now.
I think, to be honest, I think we covered most of... I feel like we would just be having the same conversation over again. We covered a lot of it with Brandon, honestly, like Jim. So unless you have something specific that you want to add, then it would be kind of fun to just do a regular episode. But if you feel like there's something that you do really want to add about it, then we can do that for sure. Up to you.
No, we were just kind of like in conversation with Brandon about it last week, and I just wanted to, I didn't know if you had anything else you wanted to add since all this has happened. Since you've taken your step back and everything, I didn't know if there was anything else you wanted to add that you maybe hadn't talked about before then,
or if
there's any more discussion to be had there.
Delete twitter.com, do just open like Trishula TTV's Twitter from time to time. Somebody did send me a link that somebody sent me a link that said that you replied to some double sleeving discourse. I will reveal this live on the air. That tweet is complete bait.
Was that did I fall for a bait for you?
I know the person who posted it. It was a bit. You've been punked.
I appreciate all of Trish's viewers that came here when his computer died.
This was Ryder is baiting everybody. It's a funny day. But
I don't understand the joke. What was the joke?
I don't think it was a joke. They just wanted to start discourse, so it wasn't like a real post.
Oh,
I didn't even see what the tweet was.
I mean, like I'll have the conversation because like
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that conversation. Like I thought that it was like.
No, they're explicit goal.
I thought it was like a troll, like a bad post. Like it's fine.
They've done this before.
what was the post?
It was so they do this every now and then. It's like the goal is just to start discourse. So the sleeves post is a post that happened last year. and so they're just they
just so what's the what's the
bit the bit is that
why don't we just share with the listeners what the bit is, the what the post was, because we can just have the discourse because it
this is funny, Discord. So the I believe I have to pull it up from the other place because I did not because I don't have Twitter installed. I have to pull it from the link that they sent.
Here, I'll find my
if you can find the link and let me know.
My computer is unexploded, so
it's unexploded. Ooh. Very good.
Yeah, it
is. Oh, we have Twitch back. I'm still not in chat because I'm banned because I asked for it. But
okay, here's the tweet. I do not, all caps, understand people who single sleeve their cards. Are you worried about dirt or moisture warping? I don't know. Cards are expensive. I personally wouldn't want wouldn't play my deck in singles.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I just responded like, because like I hear this comment like a lot, like unironically. I was just like, I don't know, dude. Like I like to be able to shuffle my cards in like ways that do not hurt my hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I
couldn't agree more.
I tried after like Vancouver, I tried doing double sleeving and I just
nightmare.
I really do not like inner sleeves. Outer sleeves I can handle. Inners are like, it's so hard to actually get the card in the sleeve without like damaging the card. It's like,
this is how it feels to shuffle double sleeved cards.
It feels like top loaders, like it's just straight up. It feels like I'm shuffling top loaders. It feels like I should not be shuffling these cards. And what's crazy is like for a long time I was like a proponent of double sleeves. Like I wanted like double sleeves in Yu-Gi-Oh! Because they weren't allowed for very many years.
True.
And then as soon as we got them, I was like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah. This the is second awful. We got them, we all agreed, wait a minute, this sucks. We all used them for 2 weeks, and then we all said, wait a minute, this is awful.
I'm going to shuffle some top loaders, too.
Yeah, that's what I was just doing. Yeah, that's what I was just doing.
Although, I have No, you go ahead, Trish. I got something else after.
Oh, the only thing that I was going to say is, like, I double sleeve my extra deck, though. Because, like, usually what I'll do with my extra deck is I'll just, like, find, like, some cool sleeves to just sleeve it in, and then I'll just, like, put an oversleeve over it and just be like, like, here, look at... But it's not to protect the cards, it's to protect the sleeves. Because I feel so sad. There was this really cool pack of sleeves that I had years ago that was, like, a super rare OCG sleeve. It's rare in OCG, too. And it's a pack... It's Solemn Judgment. It's the picture of the old man saying no. And it's, like, a purple sleeve, and it has the picture on it. It's super, super cool. I had a full pack of them. But because we weren't allowed to double sleeve, those sleeves got destroyed. Because I use them all the time for my extra deck for years. Those sleeves got destroyed. It is like $100 for a pack of those sleeves now.
Yeah. I have.
It's like 40 for 15 of them.
The thing that convinced me to do it with the extra deck was actually I won. So I have like the Master Duel hoodie and then I have a bunch of the Master Duel sleeves and I've got like the Exodia desk mat. But it's not because I was invited to a tournament. You played against Tom Box at this one. At the first anniversary one, I was one of the five people that won the giveaway.
I was wondering how you had it.
I won it.
I saw you had it and Zara had it. I'm like, how did you guys get that hoodie?
I won it through. They did like there was like a prize pack giveaway. You just did exclamation mark. I won it after Shiggy's match, which is very funny.
I'm
one of Shiggy's mods, so that's what happens when Shiggy's goes 3-0. You just it's a sweep. So that's
just work out for
funniest,
you.
That's how I have that was the funniest set of Yu-Gi-Oh games I think I have ever been adjacent to in my entire life, because no one told Dota Doya that that was a team event. So he showed up with Gambler Turbo and like was normal summoning like Lucky Gambler, and then Shiggy's was like reveal circular. I was like, there's no way.
Dude got update jammer access coded for his life savings
3 times in a row. Incredible. It was so funny.
Speaking of top loaders, here's some discourse. I just had them in. How do we feel about these? I don't know if you've had any cards sent in these before. This is it's a cardboard top loader called a shipping shield.
I'm fine with this.
I'm not, actually.
I've gotten them. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think it's not quite, I think, as good as like a plastic top loader, but if I'm thinking about it from like a how bendable they are, it seems like it's about the same. So they weren't damaged when they were in there. I've only had one card sent to me damaged before, And it's very sad because it was a very good one. I ordered a Nouvelles core because my twin brother plays Nouvelles. So I wanted to pick it up and learn it. And they had a collector's rare field spell for like $20. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I think I gave it to him, but the regular ultras that I ordered came fine, but they had the collector at the front of the shipping shield. And so the inside of the sleeve, the shipping shield top of it scraped against like the inside of the collector's rare. So there's like this huge weird like foil line coming across like the edge of it. So I got reformed for it, but I was very sad.
You want to know?
I wanted a collector's rare restaurant.
Oh. Oh. You want to know what my favorite way to receive cards has been?
Mm-hmm.
It's when I get cards from Europe, and it's just a stack of commons, and in the center of the stack is the card that you ordered. And it's true, it's actually in like damaged cardboard that's been like scotch taped like five times. It's just a big stack of commons. I've had so many random like foreign commons this way. Like I got a Light and Darkness dragon once too, like a old super Light and Darkness dragon that way in German or something like that. Yeah. I was like, this is broken. This is cool. Like I can put this in a legacy deck.
Yeah, there's a there's a retailer in Canada that ships stuff out that that will usually like put them between like Magic cards. One time I got like a bunch of Force of Will commons, which was very funny to look at. And then one time I actually got some like Chaotix. I was like, you're getting rid of these?
That's Chaotix? Yo, Chaotix?
Yeah, yeah, we're cooking with those. I was like, I've never
heard of these.
So I totally forgot that franchise existed.
I've had the worst luck with TCG shipping. I started an entire community Discord about a month and a half ago when I ordered some Edison cards.
I remember this.
And they arrived all kinds of ways. I got an ulti in just a sleeve in an envelope. Nothing else. Just a sleeve in an envelope. And they were like, good enough.
There you go.
Couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I didn't say anything. I'm sorry.
I didn't either.
I'm very sorry that happened to you.
I mean, it was a nightmare. Almost every package I got was packed so badly. Almost every package I got.
Mm-hmm.
So, which might just be because when I sell things on TCG Player, I go like overboard just so that I don't get like complaints and refund requests and stuff. But holy moly, I cannot stand it when things just like it takes very little effort to just like pack your cards properly. I don't know.
Okay. Actually, I do have one more piece of discourse. Now that I think, before I sign off, I do have one point that I want to make. This may be like a little tiny bit unhinged. I have a video about it. So I think Mathmic Circular is fusion death
trauma. What?
So
that's a sentence.
Mathmic Circular is banned because it's Verte Anaconda. It's fusion destiny. So hear me out. But it is for rank 4 decks. It's just instead of making DPE or Dragoon, it's IP Superfactorial. So if you open Circular and you want to play Superfactorial and Sigma and Diameter in your deck, you can just make Alan Burshan do the line, right? But you can do that if you make any rank 4 to search Circular. So that I wish that more decks experimented with playing a Mathmech package in their deck. Like when the Crystal Beast list topped the South America one, they weren't actually using it as Fusion Destiny with the Mathmech package. All they were doing was using it to draw cards with Disciple to fix their hand. That sucks. People should have been using it as Fusion Destiny. And that's why it's banned. And that's the last thing I want to say about Yu-Gi-Oh!
I will chime in that Swordfall of Mo Yi is actually just Engage.
True.
You search. Sure, and it's Rocket Tracer is Pot of Prosperity.
It is Engage. It's a search and a draw. You're not wrong about that. It is actually, that's true. Tracer is Prosperity. You're correct about that 100%.
Rich doesn't like where this has gone.
That's how far
now he wants to
put my brain. Yeah, like my brain is fried. I don't know if it's like the increasing migraine that I've had like growing since playing Vanadium all day, or if it's this discussion. But like everything is just so much brighter, and my head hurts.
Well, my apologies.
That means that it's time to. That means it's time to thank all of our wonderful patrons for their continued support of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. So, a huge thank you to... Get ready. You ready, Trish?
No.
Always second.
No, I am not.
Are the people who raise chickens also considered chicken tenders? Look at his eyes. Look at his eyes darting back and forth while he contemplates this question.
That's a new one. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Zyphorus, Ding Dongs, Hostess of the Yang Zing, HGH Cyber, Jed McCainsby, John Lil, Magispector Toad, Obama, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Plays, Pendulums, Silver Hope, Skyhawk Over the Beatles, Understanding and Reading Are Two Different Things, Virtually Savior's World, Visa, Star Frosting D's Nuts, Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashlish Chaps, Atsuyo, Simba the Silver Castle, Blackwing Silver and the Ascendant is the best floodgate, Blaise's best, Copium, Box Wine, Dragon, Maidenless Behavior, Ice Shade will win as YCS before Swoosu. I'm about to Rika Glamour Tree Across these planet nuts in your mouth. Little Stinky Maxi Pack number C107 is better than access code. Old Man Red, pin code 143, Runic did nothing wrong, Sinful Soils, Sunny's Internet Gremlin, and the existence of a Terra Top implies there is also a joyful bottom. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast.
That's one of the best ones of all time. I think I do gotta you go for it.
It gets me every time. It just gets me every time.
Dragon Maidenless Behavior has been an all-timer for me for the last year and a half.
Been there the whole time. Access number C107 being better than access code is a new level of absurd to me. I have to. If you posted that, if that's your patron name, message me. I have to know why you think this. I need to know. Wait,
can we just talk about how somebody snuck in Runic did nothing wrong there? Yeah. And Sunny just glossed over it.
Well, Sunny is a known,
it's right.
Sunny is a known Runic apologist. Do you not know this?
I am.
All right, I'm.
I do have.
No, I don't want to hear it. It's coming from the Dragon Link one trick. I don't want to hear it.
I don't have a card pun for today's episode, but I do have.
Dude, you can't do this. You can't not have a card pun on the Sunset Ride. Come on, dude.
Well, okay. Stall for a minute for me. I'll come up with something. I'm flipping through my staples binder.
All right, so let's talk about why Dragon Link is the best deck ever created. Let's start
right after
with
we talk
Rocket
about
Tracer.
Why Sword Soul
it's
has
red.
Built in.
It's a bullet, and then when my opponent Max sees me, I can use Rocket Tracer on myself. It's a very powerful card.
Are you gonna play the Magic Cylinders like cylinder, where it like is like a gun?
Is it a gun?
There's a card where Magic Cylinder is a bullet in a chamber of a gun. It's like Magic Cylinder of Cylinders or something like
that. Oh my god, I have seen that because I think that card is actually a reskin of a Rocket card. Like low key, I think they actually just took a Rocket art, mirrored it, and then just put Magic Cylinder there.
Can you work that into a Master One deck? Can you make this happen?
I could, but I don't want to.
So
I'm just saying.
We're talking about cylinders, right? Cylinders are like vaguely in the shape of a circle. Could anyone tell me, do you think you could tell me the radius of the circle that's inside of magical cylinders?
Don't do it.
The brachio radius.
That's not.
Well, thank you everybody for tuning in to the
episode
of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. This is Sunny signing off. Have a good evening.
I can tell you the diameter.
I looked at the circulars and I thought, I'm better than this. So I'm not gonna do it.
You can't.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.